Good afternoon. The time is 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 14th of December, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about how you can help families in need this holiday season with guests Rena Sims and Paul Sumdum from St. Vincent de Paul. Pam Nelson from the Grateful Dogs of Juneau will give us a scoop on this weekend's pet food drive. We'll also talk with Laura Stats about upcoming safe sitter classes. And we'll talk about holiday snow sports schedules and the Christmas Eve celebration with Jeff Cloud from Eagle Crest. That Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, snow showers, a snow accumulation of up to 1 inch expected. Forecast for Thursday looks like snow and rain with a 1 inch of snow expected.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal leaders say relations with the government have improved under the Obama administration, but they're concerned things could change if the president is not reelected in 2012. In the second of a two-part series, Matt Laszlo reports.
Tribal leaders say it's been more than a decade since they felt like the White House was listening to their concerns and attempting to address problems in Indian Country. The president has signed executive orders to streamline communication with tribes, and some report it's having an impact. Chairman Don Arnold of the Scotts Valley Band of Pomo Indians says going through the regular government channels, even if they're slow, is making a difference.
We're having a lot more communications and in-depth thoughts of our concerns, the Native American concerns across the country.
Not everything's rosy, though. At his recent Washington, D.C. visit, Stuart Bearhart, chairman of the St. Croix of Wisconsin, complained that the president didn't send officials to meet with tribes that matched the status of the assembled tribal leaders.
Our session the other day, they didn't send any of the secretaries. They just sent their department heads. That was an insult. The government relations, being chairman of a sovereign nation, that's equal to the president.
Even with some lingering complaints, there's fear amongst tribal elders that President Obama will lose in 2012 and that the gains they've made in Washington will diminish. Tracy King, president of the Fort Belknap Nations in Montana, says if that happens, tribal leaders will need to be more proactive.
I believe we will probably have to look at being at the table and not sit back, just come to D.C. and advocate for our needs.
Chairman Arnold says if the president is unseated, he hopes he advocates for tribes on his way out of office, whether that's in 2013 or 2017.
The government to government doesn't go Democrat or Republican. It's government to government. And whatever leadership is there, the message should be passed on. We would greatly appreciate that.
President Obama still hasn't carried through on all his promises to tribes, but he still has at least another year in office. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington, D.C.
The South Dakota Indian Business Alliance has released the report, Native Entrepreneurship on South Dakota's Nine Reservations. Jim Kent has more.
The goal of the South Dakota Indian Business Alliance is to cultivate effective and efficient business environments throughout South Dakota's Indian Country. Kim Pate co-authored the alliance's report on South Dakota's Native Entrepreneurship. Pate says one of the problems to increasing private Native businesses is a lack of knowledge about available assistance programs with agencies such as the Small Business Administration, the USDA, and the Department of Labor. But Pate adds there are also barriers.
Just the difficulty in getting collateral because of the trust status of tribal lands, that's a big barrier. Second is really the lack of affordable financial products and services in most of these reservations because there are no banks.
The Native Entrepreneurship on South Dakota's Nine Reservations report is intended to serve as an investment model to address long-standing challenges and create a supportive environment for small business development in areas that have been economically depressed. Kim Pate says there is a light at the end of the Native Entrepreneurship tunnel. It's being held by entities like the South Dakota Indian Business Alliance. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
During this week in 1971, the Navajo Community College Act was approved to provide funds to help the Navajo Nation with its higher education needs. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you can get free legal help with filing a claim at meetings held around the country through December. Details and a schedule of meetings is at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. My first guest is Rena Simpson, Paula Sumdum here from St. Vincent de Paul to give us an update on their Christmas collection. Thank you for coming down the station again.
Thanks for having us, and Merry Christmas to everyone in Juneau. We're excited. 10 more families got adopted, and so we still have 10 left. We would really appreciate people contacting St. Vincent de Paul at 789-5535, extension number 7, and speak to Martha. And she still has 10 families to adopt, and we really know that Juno will come through for us once again, and thank you for everything that you do.
Merry, Merry Christmas. It's so wonderful to live here in Juneau. I was driving up and down the streets and looking at some of the Christmas decoration and thought, so I know we've got this Christmas spirit going on, lights going up everywhere. Yes, we are concerned about our 10 families that are left, and also we usually have a few people that come that did not sign up, so if anyone is out shopping and they want to pick up a doll baby, a couple of games, a truck or a car, not designated to anyone, that would be great because we could put together a basket, cards, coloring books. Gift cards are just so wonderful to give. Sometimes you don't know what to give a teenager, so if you gave them a gift card that they sell at Fred Meyer's or Walmart's, even Super Bear, they have the Visa and the MasterCard, and young ones can go online and order for themselves. That would be so precious. And again, we are wishing you a very, very Merry Christmas from St. Vincent de Paul. We love the way that the people that have adopted the families have so carefully and so beautifully wrapped the gifts and put them in nice gift bags. And it's wonderful. And I definitely feel the jolly holly going on here this time of the year.
For people who weren't listening last Monday, could you describe the program, please?
The program is for people that are in need, you know, that they can barely make their house note, car note, buy food for their families, and they would like to have a Merry Christmas, too, and just getting by. And so we do screen, and we do try to make sure that we don't duplicate the list. Some of these families have 4 or 5 children, mainly single-parent homes where mom and dad are actually really struggling. They're working. But again, the season brings hardship. We do have people that have been sick and have had to forfeit even considering a Christmas list for their children and their family. Also this year, we would like to ask that if you could donate meals, we have always at the very end someone that has to be medevaced out, and their Medicaid or something will pay for one person to go but won't pay for the other family member. And if you have miles to donate, I'd be so grateful. You can call St. Vincent de Paul at 789-5535, extension 7, ask for Martha. If you'd like to mail in a check, St. Vincent de Paul, 8617 Till Street, or you can go online and do SVDPJuno.org, S like in Sam, V like in Victor, D like in David, P like in Paul, Juno.org. Again, it's making it for the less fortunate here in Juno that they can have some gifts to give to their families, to their children. It's about $50 to $75 per child. It makes a difference. Some of these families have lists, and some of these families are just happy to get whatever you will give them. You know, there's written on the adopted family form what size their children are, what age they are, We put on there one want and one need that would bless the family. I'm looking forward to seeing what Juno does. Thank you again.
And how can they do this again? They just go down to St. Vincent de Paul?
You can go down to St. Vincent de Paul to the Smith Hall. Martha, Arena, and the other Martha are there waiting to greet you cordially and to receive your gifts and your offering. We don't have anyone else to sign up right now. We have met more than our quota, and we're just trying to get these last 10 families adopted. So please come on through. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 14th of December, 2011. It was on this date, 1542, Mary Stuart, as an infant, ascended the throne of Scotland after the death of her father, James V. King Henry VIII of England, her great uncle, wanted to unite England and Scotland, and he drew up a treaty arranging the infant's marriage to his son, Edward. The child's mother, however, negotiated a marriage pact with Henry II of France instead. So Mary Stuart grew up in France in the court of Henry II. She got a good education. At the age of 18, though she was thoroughly French, she returned to Scotland to become Mary Queen of Scots. Scotland was Protestant, she was Catholic, but her policy was religious tolerance, and she was beautiful and tall and graceful, and she was popular in Scotland. She had two rather tumultuous marriages. She was deposed. She fled to England to seek help from her cousin Elizabeth, who was on the English throne, who had her imprisoned and put on trial and executed for treason. Her son, James, succeeded Elizabeth to the throne, became King James I of England. It's the birthday of Shirley Jackson, born San Francisco, 1916, whose short story, The Lottery, begins, "The morning of June 27th was clear and sunny with the fresh warmth of a full summer day. The flowers were blossoming profusely, and the grass was richly green. The people of the village began to gather in the square between the post office and the bank around 10 o'clock. In some towns, there were so many people that the lottery took 2 days and had to be started on June 26th. But in this village, where there were only about 300 people, the whole lottery took less than 2 hours, so it could begin at 10 in the morning and still be through in time to allow the villagers to get home for noon dinner." The lottery, in the story, is a yearly ritual in which townspeople select one of their number and stone him or her to death. The story appeared in The New Yorker, June 1948. Many people canceled their subscriptions. They wrote angry letters, but some people wrote in wanting to know where they could go to see a lottery like the one she had described. Shirley Jackson also wrote humorous stories of family life in books like Life Among the Savages and Raising Demons. It's the birthday of Amy Hempel, Chicago, 1951. Moved to San Francisco, went through a horrible 2 years. Her mother, her aunt, both killed themselves. Hempel herself was in 2 serious accidents, and her best friend died of leukemia. It was her guilt at failing her dying friend that led her to write In the Cemetery Where Al Jolson is Buried, her first and her most widely anthologized short story. Amy Hempel, who said, "Journalism taught me how to write a sentence that would make someone want to read the next one." She said she always starts a story knowing the first and the last lines. And the last moonwalk took place on this date, 1972. Apollo 17, Commander Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt walked on the moon and unveiled a plaque. Here's a poem for today by Diana Derhovenessian, Lilac Sunday. Let us agree to meet here some winter when the park gates are locked and the arches thinned of their vaulting green, to climb the wall, thaw the icicles, and watch them rain like flowering cherry and lilacs that kissed your hair, some winter, when the fog is heavy, to return to this light. A poem by Diana Derhovenesian, Lilac Sunday, from The Circle Dancers, published by the Sheep Meadow Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, where your mobile device can turn into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith and written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North, A Night in the Wilderness, pioneer Dick Prenicke's simple yet profound account of his adventure living in the remote Alaska wild. Part 1 of Alone in the Wilderness is on at 8, with the new second part premiering at 9 p.m. With his 16mm wind-up Bolex camera, Prenicke captures his own amazing craftsmanship and the stunning Alaska landscape and wildlife as he builds his cabin home. It's a great way to look at Alaska tonight on 360 North.
Time is 3:16, and you are tuned to KTLO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Pam Nelson from the Grateful Dogs of Juneau. She's a board member here to talk about a pet food drive. Pam, thank you very much for being on the air with us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So could you just describe the drive in general, please?
Yes, we're doing a pet food drive to benefit the Southeast Alaska Food Bank, and it's going to be this weekend, December 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we'll have collection boxes out at A&P, Rainbow Foods, Walmart, the Pet Nanny, Safeway, Super Bear, We Fishy, Canines Unlimited, and Southeast Medical Center, or Southeast Vet, will also be a drop-off spot for us this weekend.
You're not looking for leftovers like we feed our dogs?
No, we're not looking for leftovers. We're looking for sealed bags or cans of cat or dog food. Any size is needed.
This is the second year you've done it?
It is. It's our second time we're doing this. We're hoping to continue to make it an annual event. Last year, we collected 1,000 pounds of dog food or pet food, so we're hoping to do more than that this year.
And you have several animals yourself?
I do. I live with 5 dogs and 2 cats.
And then what kind of dogs are they?
I have 4 little chihuahuas and 1 mixed breed who's about 50 pounds.
Do you have any idea approximately how many families you helped last year?
When I spoke with Darren Adams out at the food bank, he said it was very popular. We did it, had the food there right before the Christmas holidays, so it was probably at least 30 families that we helped out with pet food.
Is there a particular kind of food that is a favorite?
Probably the dry food, the bagged dry food for the pets, because that'll last usually a fairly long time for people.
And it works by people just going shopping and picking up an extra little bit of dog or cat food or bird food. I guess it doesn't matter what kind of pet it is it? Does it?
Nope, it can be either cat food or dog food. Or I mean, even if they want to do any other type of pet food, that would be fine too. And it can be any size, whether it's 1 can of food or a 20-pound bag. All of it is helpful to the pets of Juneau.
But it should be in a sealed container?
Yes, it should be sealed. We can't take anything that's already been opened.
And these locations again are?
Downtown will be A&P and Rainbow Foods. In the Lemon Creek area is Walmart and the Pet Nanny. And out in the valley will be Safeway, Super Bear, Canines Unlimited, We Fishy, and Southeast Vet.
And if people have questions, is there a phone number they can call or a website they can look at?
They can head to our website, which is gratefuldogsofjuneau.org.
All right, Pam Nelson, thank you for coming by. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Nope, just remind everyone to, come on out and please help us take care of the pets in need in Juneau.
Any particular hours you're going to be there?
We'll pretty much be there for the bins will be there pretty much all weekend. We'll have them out set out Friday afternoon, so probably Friday afternoon to about Sunday at 5.
All right, Pam, thanks for coming down.
All right, thanks for having me.
singing dogs and hope your dogs were singing along and wherever you might be, wherever your dogs might be. Today we're celebrating the 100th birthday of Spike Jonze.
Charming scene like this in some secluded rendezvous.
Whoopee! Yay!
That overlooks the avenue with someone sharing a delightful chat of this and that and cocktails for two as we enjoy a cigarette to some exquisite chansonette. Two hands are sure to slyly meet beneath the serviette with cocktails for two. My head may go reeling, but my heart will be obedient with intoxicating kisses for the principal ingredient. Any afternoon at five, we'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete her plan that all began with cocktails for two. My dream of a love, you are a song that has no ending, and you are my dream of a love, where my poor heart shall rise in an aptitude disguise. You are a dream of love, and all is blessed to her. You are my dream.
And I'd like to have you know we try to best please us all. If you've enjoyed a little act, tell all your friends and hurry back.
Star, how you wonder who I am? Way up in the sky so low, you're a better man than I am, old Black Joe. What am I? Surprise. If you do that dance in heaven, shoot me, kid, tonight at 7.
I mean, so far.
time her father shot it dead. Now she takes that lamb to school between two chunks of bread.
Gone, but the oft-told tale is not true. For of all the things the Danube is, the Danube is not blue.
The Danube is green,
flash, flash.
What's more, it ain't clean,
trash, 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 trash.
As green as a bean,
chartreuse.
It ain't a serene, rough, rough,
rough, rough.
And though the blueberry looks a little purple, and though your maple syrup looks a little merple, don't believe what you have heard or you have saw.
The Danube is green as the glass in the spring. It's as green as the dollar you spend on a fling. It's as green as the paint that you put on a screen. Or the blue of the Danube is greener than green.
The Danube is a blue.
Am I blue?
No, the Danube has another hue.
Blue.
It's time we all came clean.
Be
all.
Celebrating the 100th birthday of Lindley Armstrong Jones, Spike Jones, today here on Juno Afternoon. Time is 3:30. You are tuned in to KTUO FM in Juno. In the studio with us now is Laura Statz here to talk about a safe sitter class. Laura, thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be talking to your listeners.
So this is a safe sitter class. Does that mean somebody who sits on something?
Jeff, you are so funny. No, this is about actually babysitting, and this program is being offered by Bartlett Hospital in our outreach attempt to the community. We really wanted, or I really wanted, to bring something to our youth to enable them to have something to do when they're not in school, and these classes are planned on no school days, and the Safe Sitter class talks all about babysitting. You'd be amazed how much we talk about babysitting. And the first thing we talk about is the responsibility of babysitting. And really, you know, we, You know, I think a lot of times when babysitters or when youth get into babysitting, they don't realize exactly what they're getting into. And so we talk about babysitting as a business, about how to be safe, about prevention of injuries, about child behavior, how to prevent problem behavior. It's a really a great program, and it is a medically accurate program. And we also talk about choking rescue, which is, of course, very important. And so, yeah, I'm really excited. I love interacting and teaching the youth. And, yeah, this I want to broadcast it and let the youth know about it.
About what age should a youth start thinking about babysitting?
Okay, this program is for youth ages 11 to 13, although we've had older youth participate in it, and that's fine, but it no younger than 11.
Where is it going to be held?
It's at Bartlett Hospital and in the classrooms.
Is there a fee?
There is a fee. It's $35, and you can register for this class. Registration is necessary, and you can register for the class at 796-8422. That is our class registration line. Again, it's 796-8422, and you'll reach a, you know, it's like a program, and it'll tell you to you'll just follow the instructions.
Cool. And you're also offering CPR classes?
Yeah. We are offering, this again is youth-based, or not based, but focus. We are having, it's called Family and Friends CPR. So there's no real, we don't test the youth on it. We give them the information, and it's, for instance, in the CPR for adults, it's hands-only CPR for adults. And, yeah, once again, we want to focus on something that the youth can tap into to start early at acquiring skills that'll be useful for them, you know, throughout their life. And and I just wanted to mention that when the classes are, so that listeners know when these classes are, the next one is for the Safe Sitter classes. The next one is December 20th, then February 21st, March 20th, and April 30th. And there's only 12 students per class. So it's important to register. The classes for the Safe Sitter are 8:45 to 4:15. And then the CPR classes are 12:30 to 4. And those are December 21st, February 22nd, and March 21st. And once again, those are all on no school days to, you know, have something constructive for our youth to do.
Is there like a top three or top five list of things to, that you consider to be the most important things for babysitters to know?
A, the importance of knowing the responsibility of being a babysitter, that you're really, you know, taking the place of the parent, and anything can happen when you're babysitting. The other thing is knowing how to entertain a child properly. And I have to say, you have to know if a kid gets something caught in their throat, it's really good to know choking rescue. So I would say those would be the top three. But we teach so much more. You know, we teach about getting ready for the job, how to meet and greet a family, good work habits, if you have to cancel a job, how to properly cancel a job. We talk about preventing problem behavior, the how and when children might lose control, and how to prevent that and notice that. So, I mean, you know, the list goes on, Jeff, forever about what we pack into 6.5 hours of this class. And, yeah, it was this class was it's a national curriculum that a pediatrician developed, and it's really, really great.
Do they get books to take home or anything?
Oh, yeah. They get an excellent workbook that has basically all the information that we cover in the class. Yeah, they get a – it's great. They get a little carrying bag, a workbook that – reminds them of everything we learned in the class, and more prizes. They'll just have to come to see what those things are.
Do you want you to repeat some of this information again for people who didn't have a pencil with them? Would this class start on when?
Yes. Let me repeat that. The next class is December 20th, February 21st, March 20th, and April 30th. May 31st, I think I forgot that one, and it's from 8:45 to 4:15, and the number you call is 796-8422.
Did they have to bring a lunch to be prepared for this?
You read my mind. That's amazing. Yes, they need to bring a lunch and a snack.
All right, Laura Stetz, thank you for coming by and talking about the Safe Sitter class. If people need more information on what that phone number again is?
796-8422.
Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, we covered it all, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Tell me a story of days gone by. I want to leave this life of mine. Nothing but sorrow and pain I find. Tell me a story of days. Tell me of princes, jesters, and kings, town fools, crown jewels, scepters, and rings, goodies and little girls lost in the woods. Tell me of ashes, tell me of woes, tell me of stories of days gone by. I want to see this life of mine. Nothing but sorrow and pain.
Auction was a great success, but we still have a handful of items left over. They're now on sale at KTOO's website. Just go to kto.org to see the full listing and to make us an offer. The sale ends on December 16th at 5 p.m. Thanks to all the fantastic businesses, organizations, and individuals who made the auction a lively and fun event.
Time is 3:40 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guests are here to talk about Eagle Crest, Matt Lillard, and also Jeffrey Clow. But the first question, what's the forecast up there today?
Eagle Crest was great up there today. We picked up some snow overnight, and it was snowing this morning, and the sun came out this afternoon. So we're looking forward to a great reopening again on Friday.
Sounds good. And you got some holiday schedule stuff you want to talk about today?
We do. As Matt said, we reopen again on Friday, and starting Friday the 16th, we're open daily through January 2nd. That's Monday, January 2nd, except for Christmas Day, and we'll be closed on Christmas Day. So we're open every day. People can come up and ski and snowboard, and the snow bus will operate daily starting Saturday, December 17th, and it'll operate every day, and you can check out the bus schedule at skijuno.com.
It's run by First Students now?
It is run by First Students, so look for the yellow buses, and those guys have been doing a great job. And so, again, the schedule is posted at skijuno.com, and it's just $5 one way or $8 round trip. $69 gets you a bus pass for the entire season.
Do you still have the buses that were painted by the Canvas crew?
We do have the bus that was painted by the Canvas crew, and it drives the employees up to the mountain, and we'll be using it for some special charter work.
What's so special about holiday skiing?
I think it's holiday skiing is special just because families are up here. It's a great time for families to get together. We offer holiday camps through the Snow Sports School, and we start those on Monday, December 19th, and we do four-day camps the week before Christmas and then four-day camps the week after Christmas. And the week before Christmas, the morning is full, but we still have space in the afternoon, and after Christmas we still have some space. So it's a great time to get back on your skis or your snowboard and get your skills going and just have a great time with friends and family.
And also Santa's going to be there for Christmas Eve?
Santa is Christmas Eve. We do our annual Christmas Eve celebration, which happened every year since I've been there. And so we have ornament decorating for the kids, and we'll have music and sing-alongs, torchlight parades. We'll have a torchlight parade for adults and older kids that start at 5 o'clock. And then we'll have a kids' torchlight parade on the Porcupine chairlift, and that'll light the way for Santa. And Santa will show up at 6 o'clock with gifts for hopefully all the good little girls and boys.
And Santa should be a good skier, otherwise he has a lot of padding anyway.
Well, Santa comes down in a ski patrol sled. So we don't want to, we're not going to risk, Santa's busy that night, Jeff, so we don't want to risk Santa getting hurt. So ski patrol sled brings Santa down and meets up with all the girls and boys. And we're just very happy that Santa takes time out of his busy schedule to come see us on Christmas Eve.
Is there some kind of unusual texture or usual texture for this time of year as far as the snow goes that you have to worry about when you're grooming it?
Well, I mean, this year it's just been a phenomenal snow year so far. So we're up to just close to 100 inches at the summit and 48, I believe, at the base. So this year it's really just great, fantastic snow for grooming and just for riding everywhere. There can be other years where there's not so much on the ground and it is challenging, but this time of year, for this year anyway, it's looking outstanding. So we're really looking forward to a long two-week holiday stretch and getting everybody in Juneau up there. And anybody who's coming back for the holidays can come check us out, too.
And do they groom the slopes differently here from in Eagle Crest rather than where you came from most recently?
Well, the snow can be different. Mainly, you know, where I come from back east is a lot more man-made snow, which is a lot harder and can get icier. So there's techniques out there to handle that, and they're different than the ones that might handle the wet, wetter, kind of Pacific-ish snow. So the ultimate goal is the same. You know, you want good packed powder conditions on the groomed terrain. So we all around the country looks to get to the same place, but how they get there is different.
All right. Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, just invite everybody to come up and visit us during the holidays. If you need more information about the Christmas Eve celebration, you can find that on our website at skijuno.com. Find our snow conditions and find all the information about us.
And Matt Lillard and Jeff McCloud, thank you so much for coming down the station today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Looking for a little stress relief? Check out the Holiday Barn Dance this Saturday, December 17th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall, 5th and Gold Streets, downtown. Full Circle, featuring Greg Berger, Mary DeSmet, and Doug Smith, will provide live music, and Odette Edgar will teach and call contra dances. It's the perfect way to exercise your smile muscles and add joy to the season. As always, no partners or previous experience are necessary to join the fun. Free for Saga and JVs, discounts for seniors and students, Barn Dance this Saturday.
Running, running.
Floating, gliding through the air, they call on us to follow. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer. Lead us lest too far we wander. Love's sweet voice is calling yonder.
Call for Philip Morris.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer. Light the path
below. You take it, girl.
Yes, Sheriff.
And lead us on to love.
purest paste. Then her gerbil says, behold a girl in space.
Behold!
Right in her Gerber's face, then her Gering says, they'll never bomb this place.
Be hail! Hail!
Right in her Gering's face, are we not the Superman? Aryan pure Superman.
Yeah, be yes, sir, Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world to order. Heil Hitler's world to order.
Everyone of foreign race
will love the purest face when we bring to the world disorder. When the Führer says he is the master race, we
heil, heil,
right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace, so we
heil, heil,
right in the Führer's face.
Away from the shore, and our boat sinks slowly in the west, we approach the island of Lulu, spelled backwards.
Ul-ul.
Ah, in the distance we hear Spike Jones and his wacky wackakians.
Thank you.
359, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Sarsa Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sarsuna at 91.9. And an excursion inland at Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9, and we're also online at www.ktoo.org. The forecast for tonight, cloudy skies, a chance of light rain and snow showers, areas of fog later on. Forecast for Thursday, areas of fog with rain and snow developing in the afternoon. Snow accumulation of up to 1 inch expected. Celebrating the birthday of Lily Armstrong Jones, Spike Jones would be 100 years old today if he didn't die of emphysema. He was a heavy smoker. And we have next is All Things Considered.